and let Jesus take over. Yes, give up and let Jesus take over. Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. Jesus take over. Amen. Isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Didn't Brother Smith bless her heart from the word of the Lord? Another comforter. Amen. Aren't you glad for the comforter that's come to be with us in this hour? Praise the Lord. Before we go any further, why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God on Sunday morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bob, God bless you. Good to see you, buddy. Play a little bit more of it, brethren, if you will. Brother Tracy. Brother King. God bless you. Good to see you, buddy. God bless you, Brother Amos. I love you, buddy. Bless you, Brother Eddie. God bless you, Professor. God bless you, Doctor. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Now if you got burdens that you can bear, you got problems that seem more than your share. Just tell Jesus.
Oh, say it, church.
He's the one. He's the one who cares. And he'll make a way for you.
Oh, let's see now. Well, give up. And let Jesus.
Let Jesus.
Take hold.
Let Jesus
take over. Yes, give up.
Give up.
Let Jesus
take over.
Hallelujah. How many of you have seen it happen time and time again? God come on the scene when you thought all hope was gone. He's come on the scene for every one of us. Aren't you glad you love Him this morning? Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request while you remain standing with me, if you will. Brother Gary Herrera was sick last night. Able to be here in the service today. Brother Gary, God bless you. Glad to see you back in the service today. Want to remember Brother Aaron McCoy, his wife Angie, and their daughter Keisa. They are all sick this morning. Need a touch from the Lord. So let's pray for them this morning. Brother Matt Keith says to please pray for my cousin who has bone cancer. Her name is Frida Dingus. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request today. Brother Greg turns in a prayer request for Sister Shirley. Pray for her back. Still suffering a lot of back problems. Let's pray for her today. Brother Keith Phillips says, please pray that I will use wisdom in dealing with a family matter. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Brother Jose and Sister Elizabeth Manley says to please pray for our niece Jacqueline, who has bronchitis and asthma problems. Also for my grandmother, who has some clotting and scar tissue in her lungs. So we want to remember those requests today. Sister Nadine Finch says to please pray for Sister Clara Moore. She is very sick and body needs a touch from the Lord. Then here's a unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Sister Alice Horn says, please remember our son Dallas Brandon Horn in prayer. Dallas has communication skills of a baby about 6 months old. He is a sweet guy, but becomes very frustrated when trying to let you know his wants and needs. Dallas is 31 years old today. So we want to pray for that prayer request, that the Lord would be mindful of Dallas Horn. That we know he's got it all in control, don't we? Amen. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need this morning, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, certainly want to continue to pray for the Buchanan family. Brother Harold went to be with the Lord yesterday around 12:15. The service, they're going to have a memorial service for him this coming Friday night at 7 o'clock at Hickory Bible Tabernacle in Hickory, North Carolina. And Brother Keith talked to him just a little bit this morning. Brother Harold's request was, don't have a funeral. A funeral is for somebody that is dead. And he said, I am not dead. So he wants to have a church service. So they're going to have a memorial service for him on Friday evening at 7 o'clock. And just letting you know a little bit about Sister Shirley, as Brother Harold slipped closer and closer into a coma and unresponsive, she got down and prayed by his bedside with him yesterday, shortly before he left. And she said, promise me you'll meet me on the other side. I'll be there to see you. And said about that time there was a big tear rolled down Brother Harold's cheek. And Keith wiped that tear away. And at that particular time, he took his last breath and went home to be with the Lord. So another soldier's crossed over. And they're calling for us this morning. Is that right? How many of you want to go see him on the other side? Give the Lord a loving hand of clap this morning, a hand clap of praise, if you will. Oh, he is so good. Brother Harry, sing that second verse for me again. Sing it a little bit slow for me today. Sing this verse. Really, take this to heart this morning, every one of you.
You got burdens that you by yourself can bear.
Oh, yes, Lord.
And
yes, we do.
You got problems.
Oh, yes.
That seem more than your share. Just tell Jesus.
Oh, yes, Lord.
You can tell Jesus He's the one who cares. And He'll make a way for you.
I believe you with all of my heart. If you'll just give up and let Jesus take over, oh, give up and let Jesus take over. Let Jesus
take
over and heal, make a way for you.
And he'll
make a way.
He's already.
Oh yes, he has. He's done made a way. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Just one more little mention of Brother Harold. Brother Keith had said that in lieu of flowers, if any of you wanted to send a flower or an arrangement to some effect, that they had requested you just make a donation to the missionary fund there at the Hickory Bible Tabernacle. So keep that in mind as the week goes by. Brother Terry, come this morning. Let's pray. Let's invite his presence. I already believe he's here, don't you? Go to God with Brother Terry on behalf of these requests. Love you, buddy. Appreciate this guy, don't we? Amen.
You know, when you're getting prepared to die, there's two ways to meet death, and that's one being prepared and the other is unprepared. I remember right before my wife had her second transplant, a liver transplant, the doctors only gave a 50-50 chance to even come out of a surgery with extended anesthesia and so forth. And I remember we kind of said our goodbyes, and Brad was on the phone, and she had talked with him a little while, and he was kind of teary-eyed. And Julie was out of town, and Julie was on the phone and talked with her, and she was kind of teary-eyed, and I was kind of teary-eyed, and she never shed a tear. Alice never shed a tear. She was ready. She was ready. And actually, when she even said, Terry, I said, I don't understand all this, but, you know, if it's my time, you release me. I want to go. And she was somewhat disappointed when she woke up in this dimension. Well, you know, have to stay the rest of the years with me, I can understand, but God, permitted her to stay. But point being, there is a place that you can come to where you're ready to go. There's such a security, and she had that security. And I know Brother Harold, he's on the other side. He's crossed into that wonderful land. So let's remember that family as we pray. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are that we can come to the house of the Lord again. We're thankful, so thankful, Lord, for the message last night. We're thankful, Lord, that we have that comforter. Lord, in that your ever-present help in a time of need. And Lord, your present-day truth, and you meet the need and the challenge from forever age and ever dispensation. And as he brought it up through last night with the four riders, Lord, in Malachi 4, and this day this scripture is fulfilled, and the wonderful things, and how, Lord, you're still that same comforter, and you take care of the needs of your children, Lord, in this day, in this dispensation of time. How we're thankful for that. We pray, Lord, that you would come into the service now. We invite your presence. Take the uppermost seat. Meet our needs. May it not just be another service, but may it be something that we can take home with us. Something that you can give us, Lord, that would give us strength to fight the good fight of faith. To give us ammunition, Lord, to be able to hold that two-edged sword with the strong hand of faith. I pray, Lord, for each one of these requests that I hold in my hand, especially, Lord, Brother Harold, of course, he's promoted now. He's come up to your house. But I pray that you be with the family, Sister Shirley, and those that are left behind. And what a time of bereavement, if you could call it that. We certainly breathe the loss of its being, but let we know that his soul's in that theophany land. And I pray, God, you just be with the family and Bible Tabernacle. Bless them. And Lord, be with each one of these requests. Anoint them. We pray for Sister Natalie. You know what she's going through, and different ones, Lord, that are of a serious nature. God, you're still able to take care of those things. Somebody, Lord, is going to have faith, but I know ultimately your will is going to be done. So we ask, Lord, that you would give us grace this morning. Speak to our hearts through your word. and heal everyone. Those who are outside the ark of safety, there's someone this morning here. It's right at that time. You spoke to their heart. They know they need to accept that redemptive plan. God, may you speak to their hearts and let it be manifested this day. Give us what we have need of. We ask in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brother Terry, God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you here. Glad to have each and every one of you. We have a visitor with us today, visiting from Arizona, Cherith Fryho, who is visiting. Would you raise your hand? Where would you be this morning? Right over here. Give her a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Glad to have you in the service. Those that are streaming today, may God richly bless those folks as well. Pray for our pastor and Sister Reagan, Brother Darrell. They're in Arizona. They pray that the Lord would just give them some tremendous services and safe traveling as they head back home later this week. Let me make this announcement just before we sing this morning. The Louisiana Youth Camp applications and bus list are available over in the library. Please sign both as quickly as you can. We need a head count for those that's riding the bus. Camp filled up fast last year. Do this as soon as possible to secure your spot at camp. The ages for the camp is 13 and up. If you are 12 and turning 13 this year, you are eligible to go. The deadline to have your application is on March the 1st. Also, applications are available online. So remember these announcements. Let's sing a song this morning. Sister Smith's going to come in just a few minutes to give us another special. And she said her voice was a little bit raspy last night, but I thought it was sounding pretty good myself, didn't you? And if you don't have another song, that song you sung last night was very beautiful. Just whatever the Lord would lay on your heart. But let's bless the name of the Lord this morning. Is that what you come to church for? To bless His name? Let's do that this morning, if you will. Sing it, buddy.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stride, fallen silent, pray that
Reach out and pray.
Reach out and pray.
Divine.
this second verse one more time.
If you
have you ever been there? Every one of us, no doubt.
You're in a prison.
Yes, you're in a prison.
Zion in your mind.
You're fighting it in your mind.
Reach out and pray.
Oh, yes.
Defy.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You can be seated this morning. Sister Smith, if you'll come and get ready to give us a song. I want to welcome to the service this morning Brother Wayne Ketch and his family. Where would you folks be? Would you raise your hand? Where are they at in the service today? Raise your hand real high so we can see it. Give them a nice hand way back here in the back. God bless you. Glad to have you in the service with us today. Let's enjoy our sister as she sings for us today.
The center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. When I've lost my direction, you're the compass for my way, and you're the fire and light when nights are long and cold. In sadness, you are the laughter that shatters all fears, and when I'm all alone, your hand is there to hold. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Perfect comes. contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. You're why I find pleasure in the simple things in life, and you're the music in the meadows and the springs, the voices of the children, my family and my home, and you're the guiding light of my highest dream. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. The center of my joy. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
Amen. Let's stand this morning. Todd, is that you and your family? Todd Robbins, that's not you. It is you too. They're back. Are you back home? Just visiting? Gonna be back for long though, right? Give them a nice hand this morning. Amen. Good to see you, buddy. We're living down in North Carolina. I think his work took him that way, but we're not going to let you go that easy, buddy. God bless you. We're glad to have you. Did you enjoy Brother Dale Smith last night? Are you looking forward to the word of the Lord this morning? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise this morning. Sing us a song, buddy.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Lord, it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm coming for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Lord, it's all about you.
Wonderful. The prophet of God said that the highest form of spiritual worship is to hear the word of God for your day. Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you, Lord, this morning. Father, as we realize it is the rising of the sun. Oh God, a day of resurrection for our souls, Lord. And we pray that you'll speak to our hearts today, Lord, as we come together, Lord, as we walk this Emmaus road, Father. Lord, that you may reveal to us, Lord, your program for the hour, Lord, and that you'll help us, Lord, to draw near to thee. Father, we just want to give you all the thanks and all the praise for all that you have done. Lord, for without you we are nothing. Oh God, but through Christ we can do all things. And Lord, we just want to give you the praise and the worship that's due your worthy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, friends. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. I'm ready. I train easy, that's all. Yeah, I just love the Lord this morning. Amen. Before we read our scripture text, I want to, not just to keep you standing, but sometimes when preachers read a passage of scripture, it's a little sobering, a little startling sometimes. Brother Bram said we do odd things sometimes so it'll make you study the Bible. Amen. And so this morning we're going to read a passage out of Proverbs chapter 6. As you're making your way there, I'll finish with my disclaimer that I'm just a stranger here. I'm probably stranger than you. But we don't come with an agenda. I don't premeditate anybody. I don't know your lives, and so therefore Brother Donnie hasn't sent me a text or a PDF on what topics to deal with while he was gone, so he wouldn't have to watch. But this message that I'm going to preach this morning is kind of one of the hallmark messages of my life, and I want to let you know right off the bat, I don't know anything. I'm not pointing at anything. I don't know anything about your lives, and I'm not dealing with a particular issue other than we're trying to get people closer to God. And so if this passage, because of the content of this scripture here, if this applies to something, don't go pointing it at people and don't get something in your mind that I'm trying to deal with. It's not, because we're going to, you'll see what I'm going to. I just don't want you to premeditate because of the content of the scripture. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? All right. Let's read together. Proverbs chapter 6, and we want to begin reading at verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, and he that doeth it destroys his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. May the Lord bless the reading of the word this morning as you take your seats. This message come to me in a most odd, different way. I was preparing to minister for a brother, and we had a little supper, and afterwards we were just having fellowship, talking about things of life and experiences that he had had and experiences that I had had. And in the process of the conversation, found out that he was very active in the local volunteer fire department. Myself, having been very active in a fire department as a sometime younger, back when I was living in a little rural town in Stanley, New Mexico. And prior to that, I'd also fought AD firefighter for the government up in Montana, fighting forest fires. And so it was kind of a passion of my life. It was kind of one of those that, because I was a peacetime Marine, I had to find some form of combat to satisfy my passion. And so we got to fight fire. It was the closest thing I could find in a peacetime world. But I'm thankful I didn't have to go into a real battle like that. And pray for our boys that have had to and that are there now. But when we got to talking about this, then he got this brainstorm that he wanted to show me some video footage of new state-of-the-art firefighting equipment that was just coming out. And so he took me to a website, and we were sitting there together, and he showing me the newfangled ladder trucks that they had and all the highfalutin stuff that they got going on in the firefighting world today. And I was quite impressed with some of the things that he was showing me. Then he went over to another place where he was showing me some of the more novelty type stuff where they would make fire trucks into drag trucks, and where they would put high performance on for exhibition type things, and where they could, you know, put all the chrome and all the fancy paint jobs and high performance motors and make them do wheel stands and all kinds of things. It was quite interesting, kind of boy things, you know. It was interesting to me. And then he just makes a statement in passing. He says, "This is not for the squeamish." Well, I had seen plenty of, you know, safety videos and things in the Marine Corps, and then, you know, combat videos and things like that. So, you know, you're a little bit callous to blood and guts and gore and things like that. And so it wasn't no big deal to me. At least I wasn't prepared in my mind. I kind of relaxed my spirit, you know, having confidence and things like that. And the brother went to a link. It was a training video, and it was showing some actual fire footage. And there was a fire that was in a large commercial, industrial-type building, maybe like a big warehouse or big, like a gymnasium or something like that. And there was a ladder truck parked there. There was several firefighters that were all in full fire gear, ready to deal with this this building that was in flames, or at least there was smoke coming out all around it. And so so you'll catch up with me here. And the ladder truck was parked next to the building, and if that ladder truck had scoped its ladder out and come up over the edge of the building like that, and then the men were all down here, and they were discussing the fire, and then Two men in full fire gear started up the ladder. A third man, which was probably like their fire chief or, you know, somebody that was a crew boss of some kind. And he was not in full fire gear. He had a helmet on, he had his breeches and suspenders, but he didn't have a fire jacket on. He didn't have the outside gear, just like a shirt sleeves is all he had on. And it was like he was going to follow him up, give him some last minute instructions, and then he was going to release them to do whatever they had to do up there, and he was going to return back down to the bottom. Well, when they got up there, and I'm just standing there passively watching this little piece of footage, and then as they get up past the precipice of the vertical wall up over the top of the building where they were going to begin maybe putting some water down or whatever they were going to do, as they got up there, that roof caved in, and the fire come up out like a volcano and come up out and engulfed all three of those men unexpectedly. And I'm watching this, not prepared. I've seen a lot of simulated things, but this was actual fire footage. And so as they engulfed these three men, I just caught my breath, and I'm watching these three men burn before my very eyes. As I was watching that, it so shocked my system. Something that I was not prepared for, something that I did not want to see, it was put before me all of a sudden, and I couldn't take my eyes off of it, and it began to just sear the images of the agony and of the desperate situation of those men as they fried on top of that ladder. I couldn't believe my eyes. And when it was over, I told the brother, I said, you could have went a long time without showing me that. And I was marked in my spirit. There's something took place, a scar as it were. It was so burned in the recesses of my mind to this very day, for this very moment. If I were to close my eyes and to recall those images before me, I can still see in the back parts of my mind those things that I looked upon and that I regret seeing them, and I wish I had never seen them. And you know where I'm at, friends, that things happen. The prophet of God preached to us a message called, and from that time, friends, there's something been scarred into my spirit that I can never take away. Amen. If I close my mind, it'll come back in living 3D color right before my very eyes. And the prophet of God told about a man who he came home and he got a Dear John letter, and he picked up the letter and he read it, and he realized that his wife had left with his best friend, and he went out and drowned himself in a bottle. And when Brother Branham found him, he was laying in a gutter, amen, in his own urine and stench, amen, laying there dying, amen, of alcoholism. And he told the story to Brother Branham. Oh, let me tell you another woman that she went out one time, just a date, and a boy put some kind of a drug in her drink, and she drank it, and she lost her virtue, and now she left that life, and now she was polluted for the rest of her life. She lived as a drunkard and a dope addict and a prostitute and was in insane institutions and couldn't be delivered by anything. What happened, friends? Amen. She took fire into her bosom, and her clothes, amen, were burned. And a man took fire into his bosom, and his clothes were burned. Amen. We take fire into our minds by the things that we look at and the things we dwell upon, and it scars our minds for the rest of our lives. We find now that as I saw this thing, I went away. I went to pray that night, and I had to preach the next morning for hours and hours. I laid there in the bed. My wife, oblivious, did not know anything that had happened. She drifted off into the arms of Morpheus, the god of dreams. She just went away. But I laid there in torment for hours and just asking God to rid my mind of these things. And somewhere in the middle of the night, I felt a coolness, just a presence came in the room. And I heard this voice, just like in my subconscious, say, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? And I got up. I said, I know that's in the Bible, but I didn't know where. And so I grabbed my computer and I went to searching and reading. read this passage of Scripture. And like you, you can imagine what kind of thoughts ran through my mind having to preach at a church the next day and having this kind of a passage of Scripture to come before me. I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to deal with nothing like that. And but it just began to be before the presence of the Lord. Then a greater understanding began to unfold. The Bible was dealing with a situation here, not just specific to adultery, not just specific to stealing, but specific to sin. Specific to missing the mark. Specific to disobedience or to the condition of mankind in his sinful condition. And so that automatically causes me to go back to the first man. As I go back to the first man and find how that he and his companion, his helpmeet, were on the earth, and how that another entity came in and took that woman away from him, then violated her, and then Brother Bram, they asked Brother Bram, said, well, then what was Adam's sin? Brother Bram said it was the same sin as the serpent's sin. Said because she wasn't his no more. And so when Adam took her back, he was actually taking another man's wife. You see, so another man's, because she no longer belonged to him, see. And so it created a situation there. But because Adam did that, he identified himself with her. Brother Bram said he had the attributes of God in him, the attribute of Christ, that he would give his life for his wife. Because he loved her. Brother Bram said she should have burnt with a serpent. But Adam loved her, took her back, and in doing so, he took upon himself the scar of sin. And from that time, that the Bible says, in the day that you eat thereof, that day you shall surely die. And we realize that Adam never lived out his day, and he died before 1,000 years. But the children, because of the sin, that the scar would be left in the children. And that scar was left in every child that ever passed through the matrix. That scar was left on every human being that would ever be born of a woman. We find that scar about right there. That's right. You got the scar. I got the scar. Amen. It shows that we were born of a woman of a few days and full of trouble. That our life is but a vapor, and that we come into this world of speaking lies. We're a bunch of liars, a bunch of stinkers, a bunch of shysters, and that's the way we were born into the world. And so now this fire is in our bosom in the form of a sin birth. And so now this sin birth wants you to see something. That sin is like fire. Fire is like sin. Fire, just looking at fire for a little while, fire is lifelike. Did you ever notice? Even scientists will tell you that it has five out of six parts of being alive. The only thing it lacks is that it's not cellular. And so it requires something else to live on. It's a parasite. And so this fire is lifelike, but yet it mocks all life. Fire, water, you can flood a place. It'll kill some things. Some things can't survive water. But some things can. But you set a place on fire, nothing survives. Everything is burnt from the fire. That's why at the end, the Bible says that some of the earth was in the water and out of the water. He said, but then he said, in this last days, he said, even the heavens themselves will be on fire. You see, because God is going to cleanse the whole earth. Now, fire is destructive. Fire exists by consuming its victims.
Amen.
The Egyptians believed, and many other indigenous tribes, believed that fire was an animal. And that it consumed its victim, and then it would die, bloated with the body of its victim, as it would dwindle away and die. Fire also has a tendency to spread. If we were to say this pulpit or this piano over here, we would say we was cold and we needed to build a fire, and we would say, well, this is wood, we can burn this. And then we would set it on fire, and we would all gather around, and we'd all be nice and warm, but it wouldn't stay there. This pulpit would soon become engulfed, and the carpet and the pews and the walls and the everything, it wouldn't be satisfied until it consumed the building and the trees and everything around it until it couldn't find anything else to eat. Fire's lifelike. It eats. It breathes. It moves. It talks. It has a tongue. Fire. Come on. It will spread. It will convert everything around it into itself. It won't be satisfied leaving this pulpit a pulpit. We can set it on fire and say, okay, then tomorrow we'll come back and use the pulpit. No, it'll burn the pulpit. It'll eat up everything around it and consume it and turn it into itself. Then it's not satisfied just to be gentle and move from one place to another without hurting other things.
Amen.
But this fire will furiously get out of control and it'll burn up everything in its path.
Yes. Yes.
And when it's done, it leaves nothing but dismal heaps of ashes and ruin in its wake.
Right.
One time I was fighting fires up in Montana. It's called the Foxy Fire. It was in the Skalkahoe Wilderness. That fire, they used to drop us off in a helicopter up on top of the mountain. And we'd work our way down into the back parts of the fire and do mop up because we weren't the actual smoke jumpers that went into the heat of it. We were just kind of clean up crew, and we had to deal with, you know, hot fire, but it was already kind of contained and we could already deal with it because we weren't trained into that level of firefighting. One day they took us to a place, and I never forget this as long as I live. They brought us around a road and we was kind of out flanking the fire so we could build some fire lines and access for the, you know, to get men into the fire, because it's a very dense, heavily wooded area. It's way up on the side of a mountain in Montana. When we got to the parking spot, we stopped, and this fire comes up over the top of the mountain, and it got just a fresh surge because of the updraft coming up. And when it did, that fire is what they call crowned out. And when it crowned out, it was because the fire was so hot that it was taking the trees, these large ponderosa pines, maybe 2-3 foot in diameter, 100, 150 feet tall. And these old big trees, when that fire would hit those trees, they would just explode like that. And they would blow up because of the tar and the rosin that's on the inside of that, the pitch that's on inside of that tree is flammable. It's where you get turpentine from. And that old pine tar would just explode, and it would blow those trees way up in the air. Flames would shoot 200 feet above the tree canopy. And that old fire was rolling down off there. And as it rolled down off of that mountain, it was throwing rocks and boulders and chunks of wood and smoke and ashes and debris as it rolled down off there at about 20 miles an hour, 15, 20 miles an hour. It was just unbelievable display of raw power. I've never seen anything like it in life. And as it rolled down off that mountain, we got out of the truck, and we were close to a mile away from that fire. And at a mile away, it was like we were standing next to a blast furnace. This thing was just so hot, it was unbelievable, and there was nothing we could do about it. And when it left that mountain, there was nothing. That mountain was full of elk, it was full of moose, it was full of sage hens and grouse, and it was full of deer, and it was full of birds, and all kinds of wildlife, and squirrels, and chipmunks. But when that fire come through there was nothing left but burnt ashes and cinders. Stick standing up with no limbs and no bark, burnt to a crisp. And so that's fire. And it's uncontrolled. But then we find that the Bible tells us that this sin like this right here, it's showing us that man can take fire, and so is he that goeth in, so is he that steals, so is he that lies, so is he that lusts, so is she that causes him to lust, so is anything that's outside of the program of God, that when you take these things into your life and you know that these things are wrong, and you take liquor, you take drugs, you take cigarettes, you take anything that's contrary to holiness, you take a deceit, you take backbiting, truce breaking, false accusing, incontinent, you take despisers, amen, you take those things into your life and it will leave a mark on you. And so is sin. Sin is destructive.
Yes, sir.
Sin is lifelike. Sin's got a tongue. Sin's got eyes and hands. Sin's got feet. It creepeth in the dark. It lieth in wait. It setteth a snare. Oh my. Sin. Amen. The Bible says that when it's conceived, it bringeth forth death. Oh, let me tell you. Now then, this sin is destructive. It consumes its victim. Sin doesn't just simply use it, but it abuses it. Sin destroys it, annihilates it. And when it spreads, sin is not satisfied just sitting in one spot. You get somebody that's got unconfessed sin in their life and they won't just stay still. It'll move from believer to believer. Church member to church member. You say, how is that possible? Because sin in the world, they're just sinners. They can't sin. Only you, the believer, can sin. You're the one that can transgress because the sinner is just a sinner. But you're the one that's responsible. And so that sin, once it comes into a believer's life, the Bible says it becomes exceedingly more sinful. Because it's you're dealing with your attitude towards God and towards the Word. Amen. And so now this sin, it's not just going to stay in one spot. Sin, the Bible tells us that it'll move from one to another. How does it do it? Brother Adam said, it's not so much the person that will gossip, but it's the one that will sit and listen to it. What happens then, though, sin transfers from one to another, because if you've got time to listen, then you've got time to repeat it. And so then that story goes from one to another. This ideal, this lie, amen, that is told, or this falsehood that is told, or maybe it's even a truth, but before it gets to the fourth or fifth person, it's so misconstrued and fabricated that it no longer resembles the first truth that was told, until now it begins to consume a whole assembly. The Bible says that a tongue is a little member that boasts great things. And behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And so the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. And setteth on fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire of hell. Remember the adage that your mother told you in all of her great wisdom. You can't play with fire. The prophet of God comes around and says you can't play with church. You can't play with fire. You can't hide fire. Out west, we have a... There's always a fire threat out there because there's no humidity like you have here. Humidity keeps things moist and it's a little harder to spark a blaze. Oh, they get some fires here in drought times, but that's why, because it's low moisture. Out west, it's different because they only get where y'all might get, you know, 15 inches of rain in 1 month. They get 15 inches of moisture. That's spit and everything in a year. On a bad year, you know, it's worse than that. Humidity 0.5, 0.05. And so one brother told me, said it was so dry that year that the catfish got ticks. And so that's pretty dry. And so this time, but out west, when they would go out there, the storm, the weather in the west is very extreme. It doesn't just stay, you know, kind of nice all the time. It's today it can be 40, 50 mile an hour wind gusts. Tomorrow it can be 100 degrees with no breeze at all. The next day it could rain 2 or 3 inches, and the next day, you know, it could come a snowstorm. You just never know what's going to happen out there, especially in the higher elevations. But people migrated out to the west, and when they did, there was a pattern that they would build them. They would dig a hole in the ground, and they would call it a dugout. They put a little roof over the top of it, and that's where they lived. Then they would spend all of their energy for the next year and all their resources to plant a crop and to build a barn. And then the barn then would house the animals for the winter. The barn then would put all the fodder and the hay, canned goods, implements, horses, chickens, hogs, whatever they could, because when the winter would come, they could get a 3-day blizzard. You know, it could freeze everything, get minus, you know, 18, minus 20, minus 30 degrees, wind chill on top of that. And then animals would die, so they had to have some kind of a shelter for them. Amen. Well, there's a story about a boy that his family that moved out west. They built this barn. They had this crop. They had this dugout. Then on the weekend, usually like Saturday or something like that, they would ride into the nearest town. Their mother would buy, you know, some flannel or some, you know, some sewing goods. Maybe she'd get some lard and some flour, coffee. Those kind of things, staple foods. And then the dad, then he would go to the hardware store. He would get shovel. Maybe he'd get a new plow point. Maybe he'd get horseshoed. He'd get a wheel put on his wagon. Get things taken care of. They only come once a month. Yeah. Then after all the business was taken care of in town, then many times the women, they would go over and they would talk about, you know, how many eggs or hens was laying. And, you know, they would talk about things like that. You know, what hens do. And then but the dads, they would go over there and they'd do what roosters do. They'd crow. And so the men would get over there and they would stand around, and, well, one would pull out his corn cob pipe and he'd light it up, and then another one, maybe he'd roll him his own, and another one would pull out a cigar, and they'd all stand around, and another one would take a big plug off of chewing tobacco, and they'd stand around and smoke and spit and crow. That's right. And so now there was the little boys. And the little boys would look up at their daddies. And this one particular boy, remember Brother Brown tells the story about his daddy pulling on that whiskey bottle and talking to the men. He said he'd stand there when he'd bend his arm. He said that muscle would flex. He said, oh my, he was a man that would never die. He was the strongest man in the world because he was in the eyes of a little boy. In the eyes of that little boy, his daddy was Superman. And so that little boy would stand there and watch his daddy intently. I'm preaching, friends, in case you didn't know it. And so that those little boys that stand there and watch their daddy so intently, just how he spit, just how he smoked, just how he blowed that smoke through his nose, the language that he used, the way that he referenced God and all the things about it, and how that he stood there and talked about this and how he stretched the truth on that and all these other things. And then they would load up in the wagon and they would ride back home. And dad would go back to plowing and farming. Mom would go back sowing and cooking. But little buddy there, you know, he was a little fella. So he'd get a little bit of time to play. So he'd go up into the barn. And he'd go up into the loft of the barn and he'd get back there and he'd kick the hay back, make him a little spot there on the ground. And there he would go into his little world of make-believe. And now he was no longer just a little boy. Huh? But now he was a great big man. Just like his daddy. And he'd walk around and he was tough and he was strong and he'd spit. Then he got this brainstorm. I think I'll get me some matches. And I could take some of this straw. And I could light this piece of straw. I could smoke this straw. I know he can do that. I know from experience you can do that. And so he got this little piece of straw, this little piece of alfalfa straw. And he got him a farmer's match and he struck it up there and he lit it. And he was real careful that he had put that fire out because he knew where he was. He knew he was up in that barn. He knew it was real dry and he knew that that was dangerous and he knew that he wasn't supposed to be playing with matches. And he knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that if he got caught, oh my, he was going to learn a real valuable lesson that that was the wrong thing to do. But he realized the severity of his crimes, but yet something inside of him said, I've got to do this anyways. And so he'd get to puffing on that old piece of straw and he'd blow a little smoke out through his nose and he'd practice his cuss words. And he'd be saying things and doing things and carrying on. And then his mommy would call him and he'd put out his little fire and he'd cover up all the evidence, you know, his sins were hidden. And then he'd get down out of the thing, he'd go into the house, slip through the back and he'd get him a pinch of coffee. You know, he'd run that coffee in his mouth and go in and see his mama. Mama say, you been smoking, boy? No, ma'am. So why does your breath smell like coffee then? Oh, I like coffee. Well, now then he would, the next day, the same thing, and maybe next week, the same thing, and time after time after time, this boy would find a way to slip into the secret world of his little world of fantasy and make-believe. And in that world, he was a hero. He was a fighter of engines and he was a robber of banks and he was a breaker of horses. He was anything that his little imaginary mind could produce. But then one day he did not realize, but the spark that was so incremental, so microscopic spark fell down between the floorboards in the attic of that old barn. And when he covered his sins this time, amen, there was something left behind. And before that boy could get back to the house, he turned around and saw the entire barn on fire. And that fire got, it burnt the whole loft. It burnt the barn. It burnt the cows. It burnt the horses. It burnt the plow. It burnt the wagon. It burned up all their food for the next year. And because of one little unrepentant, unconfessed sin, that whole family was devastated. What started it? You would say it was a bad, wicked, dirty little boy. I'll tell you, it was a daddy who didn't set an example. It was a mama who didn't keep an eye on her boy. I blame the parents. But the boy will bear the reproach and the guilt for the rest of his life. Sin can't be played with at any level. Sin is destructive. It converts. When sin gets a hold of a man's life, it's not very long before his thought processes or to satisfy that sin. It's not very long before his actions will satisfy that sin. Amen. His behavior. Amen. What hangs on his toolbox. Amen. What's in his car. What's played on his radio. The kind of clothes he wears. Amen. The kind of activities that he does. And the things that he tells his family. And the prophet of God told us. Amen. That man called Legion. That his whole... That he ended up a man with over 1,000 demons living in a cemetery. Screaming and calling out, naked, stripped down, and possessed of the devil because he told one little lie to his wife. Told one story that led to another, that led to another, that led to another, until finally his little children were afraid of him and hid themselves behind the door. And they left him in the tombs. Screaming. Oh my. Because of one little lie. And then it converts everything in its path into what it is. A man that gets sin in his life. A man that gets a passion for anything. Not necessarily women. Not necessarily strange flesh. You get a man that gets consumed. I'm going to hit myself right between the eyes. Is that all right? Not because I'm guilty of it, but I just know where men go. Sometimes a man has to live with a fishing rod in his hand. Everything in his life revolves around that fishing rod, around that bass boat, around that deer stand, around them golf clubs. Huh? The whole man's life revolves around his job and making money. His whole life revolves around, you know, his house and his yard and his image. To the point that he forgets everything around him and that everything must support his image or his habit or his passion or his desire or his football team or his basketball team, or it's got to support his way of life until he forces his children and he makes his son go with him fishing every time he goes until that little boy hates fishing. He makes his son go play golf till that boy can't stand a golf club. Mothers will do the same thing. That a mother wanted to live out a certain dream in her life. She wanted to be a dancer, or she wanted to know ballet, or she wanted to do this or that. And Brother Brown said, you make that girl go do that, and you're feeding her strychnine and arsenic. Poison that'll send her into an insane institution and turn her into a drunkard at the end of her life. A man will do that to his sons until the whole family is consumed with those things. And you know what suffers? The house of God. You know what suffers? Their attendance at church. You know what suffers? Their Bible reading and their prayer. Until finally they're completely consumed with their habits. They used to be good church people. They used to be real pillars in the house of God. But now you can't find them. Because now where are they? They're sitting in front of their 40-inch. Watching the pregame. Missing the house of God. What happened, friend? Fire started out a little spark. And then it began to rage furiously and out of control. Oh, my friends. Think about it. And when it's finished, you got a woman going that way. And you got a man going that way. And you got children going that way. Families lost. Home is destroyed. Relationships are lost. Friendships are ruined. Because the people of light can't fellowship the people of darkness. Lest their fire get off on my clothes. Is that right? Oh, you all know where I'm at. I know you do. Becomes somewhat painful to think about what the enemy, the devil, has done to God's people. And how that he sets these little wildfires here and one there. Till he causes disruptions in the church. And the prophet of God said it ultimately hurts the pastor. And we wonder why pastors leave us before their time. We wonder why they have to take sabbaticals. We wonder why they're nervous wreck. We wonder why they age much faster than what they should. We wonder why ministries are broken down and beaten down. It's because they're fighting fire all the time. They're firefighters. And they're out there fighting these wildfires that start up in the church. They're up in the tower looking out over the congregation, and then all of a sudden, hey, they see a smoke over there. What is that? Why? Well, that sister never used to wear those kind of shoes before. But now I can't even look at her when she walks out the door. That's a little fire. He's got a, what caused that? It wasn't her. It was her husband. What was he doing? What caused those daughters to start looking like that? Where did that fire come from? How did it get loose? Because you can't play with sin, friends. For the Bible says, know you not, O man, that your sins will surely find you out. You can't keep it secret forever. It's going to sprout up somewhere. Man, they were such a good family. How did that boy end up in jail? He's doing life without parole and his daddy's a preacher. How did that happen? Oh, there was a fire that was left. Somebody played with fire somewhere. It's the effects of sin. But because, and thank God, that me, Brother Dale Smith, I'm a student of the message of the hour. I'm a student. I love it. I read it. I consume it. I listen to it all the time. I get all my inspiration from it. Oh, it's my life. It's everything in me. And you know what I found out according to the message of the hour? That sin is a righteous act perverted. So then this old devil that turned sin into fire, that he's a stinker and a liar, and he took a righteous act and perverted it. Therefore the fire that comes from sin is the perversion of a true fire. My Bible tells me over in Hebrews chapter 12, I believe it is, that my God is a consuming fire. So that if my God is a consuming fire, and the Bible says that we have a shield of faith which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. And so we find then that in a fireman, in a man that would run into an inferno, there was some 3,000 firefighters and rescue people that ran into those trade towers and into the Pentagon that day and gave their lives. What caused them to give their lives? It was because there was a greater fire burning inside of here than what was burning up there. Oh, let me tell you, that's what will cause a man. Why? Because something greater. Brother Brown said, what can turn a storm but a greater storm? What can turn a typhoon, he said, but a greater wind? Oh, let me tell you, friends, what's going to turn the tide of sin in our lives when we think all hope is gone, when we think that our lives are consumed and all we can see around us is spot fires and smokes and crowned out infernos all around us. But then we have to realize, oh, that there's a God in heaven, that my Bible says that he is a consuming fire. One time there was a wildfire out of control up in Yellowstone National Park. And it was coming down. It was burning some really beautiful, pristine forest. They called in a fire expert to give his analysis. And he says, well, what we got to do, if you don't want to keep that fire out of the park, we're going to have to get some D9s up there. And we're going to take them D9s and we're going to start pushing a fire line that's probably a quarter of a mile wide. And we're just going to push it all over into the fire. We're just going to cut a line there, and that'll stop it right there. It won't go no further. Well, there were some people up there that were smarter than the consultant that they called in. And they said, we can't do that. That will upset the ecosystem. It'll do what? It'll upset the natural lay of the land and the habitat. What do you think the fire's going to do? Sometimes we gotta, well, it's gotta hurt a little bit. Sometimes we gotta upset things, bust out the fallow ground, the Bible said. Turn the soil, amen, get it down, amen, get it back down to the bare earth. They call that mineral soil. You cut until you get to mineral soil, then your fire line will hold. And so they didn't do it. And so then it was heading on down into the park. Then it started heading down towards their houses. And they said, oh, what are we going to do now? So there ain't nothing we can do now except build a fire. We've got the wind at our back now. That fire's moving down through that timber. If we build a fire here and start a fire of our own, we can fight fire with fire. Oh, I would to God tonight that the church of the living God would realize that the only thing that they can fight sin with is with the holy fire of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. One time there was a man named John. They came out and said, John, are you the fireman? He said, nope, I'm not him. Nope, I'm just one that's before him. But the one that cometh after me was preferred before me. And when he cometh, his shoes I'm not even worthy to unlace. But when he comes, I baptize you with water. But another will come after me who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And a handshake. Oh, come on now. I thought y'all were Pentecostals. Huh? Holy Ghost and fire. The fire of God. Why? Because he was a consuming fire. The Bible says that he came down in a pillar of fire. There was a fire that met Paul. And he said, who art thou? And he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He said, who art thou? He said, it is Jesus whom thou persecutest. What did he see? He saw a pillar of fire. What did Reverend Best kick against in 1950 in Houston, Sam Houston Coliseum? Kicked against a pillar of fire, not against a man, but a word that had come from God and that was vindicated by a supernatural pillar of fire. What are you following today? Not following a man, not following the words of a man. But we're following the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. None other than the pillar of fire made flesh again in our day, in your flesh and in my flesh. Fire. Men of fire. So they call them firemen. Oh, fireman, what do you want to grow up to be? Come on, sister, what do you want to grow up to be? I want to grow up to be a fireman. I'm going to be a firewoman. I'm going to be a woman that's on fire. I know what the problem is. I ain't been saying it right. I've been saying fire. Y'all say far. Far, friend, far! So many of these kids on fire. One time I was fighting a fire. Got called to a little fire. It was a grocery store next to the town up. Well, we just happened to be right there in town, right next to the fire station. Well, we got our page and we jumped in the trucks and man, we went like we was going to a fire. And we were just a-ginning down the road in our old beat-up Chevrolet truck. And we were just getting down there, you know, as fast as we could. Well, we ended up getting there first. The littlest fire department got to this fire before all the big ones. When we got there and I jumped out and Could hear the glass popping and smell the plastic burning, and it was toxic gas and smoke and everything. It was contained in one storage department on the old grocery store there. And I got out of there and looked at my driver, and he was running the pump truck. I said, "What are we going to do?" He said, "Well, we got to get in there. We got to get some water on that thing." And so I said, "Yeah, well, we got to get some gear on." Well, I wasn't trained to fight structure fires. I'd had the gear on. I knew what to do. And I had to turn it all on and everything. But I'd never been in one. And, you know, but we was the only ones there. And so I went over there. I got my gear. I pulled my gas mask on. I got my helmet, my boots. I got all my stuff on. I got my gloves. And we pulled out a big old length of hose out there. Big old 2-inch main line like that. Big old nozzle on it. You pull back a nozzle, one man on it, it'll lift him clean off the ground and throw him around like a water hose. You don't want to be a hold of a 2-inch main line by yourself. And so I grabbed that hose, and the thing probably weighed 50 pounds. Oh, what am I going to do? I can't handle this by myself. I'm standing there. I'm saying, "Oh, but we got to do something. What are we going to do?" I'm waiting, looking around. And all of a sudden, I was just looking at this fire. I didn't know what to do, brother. So what am I going to do? And I'm just waiting there. And all of a sudden, that hose got real light. Went whoop. I said, "What's that?" And all of a sudden, this big old hand hit me on the back. Boom! And I looked, and I'm looking right in the face of my uncle. My uncle, great old big hand. And he's been a veteran firefighter. He's been in many hot situations in his life. He's saved plenty of lives. He'd been through all these things before. And he just grabbed me, lifted that thing, and started pushing behind me. He said, "Come on, son. I'm right behind you." Oh, let me tell you, friends. I wasn't afraid of no fire then. I wasn't afraid. I pulled back that hose. Brother, I sprayed her here. I sprayed her there. I sprayed her everywhere. Everywhere I went, I was fighting fire. What was it? Something on the inside of me was bigger than the fire, and somebody was behind me that had been there before. You say, "How am I going to fight the fires in my life?" Amen. Just remember, there's one who went before you. There's a Jesus who's fought every fire. He was in the Hebrew children when he went down into the furnace in Babylon. Amen. He fought the fire. Amen. With the Hebrew children. Amen. Oh, he was there. What is it, friend? There was one that went before me. He had already been there. He had done sized up this thing. He said, "This is no job for me." Oh my. We went in there just a little while. One little greenhorn firefighter. And one great big strong veteran. Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He led me in there. Friends, I can't handle, amen, these things that crop up in my life. I'm not big enough. I'm not strong enough. The prophet of God said, "You're no match for the devil." But I'm here to tell you, I know one who is. I know one who is. Oh, one day, the Chaldeans had taken the peoples of God. The Bible says that God gave them over into the hands of the Chaldeans. Said, "I turned my children into you that you could persecute them. You could chastise them for my sake." He said, "But then you went too far." It's like we were saying last night about Job. Oh, the devil was a tool in the hand of God. But then when the devil got out of control and he went just a little bit too far, then God sent a vision to his prophet, and God sent a word down to his prophet, Jeremiah. And he said, "These Chaldeans, they have persecuted my children beyond what I had allowed. Therefore you must prophesy against the Chaldeans." And they made fun of him and told him that he shouldn't do those things, that he was a lying prophet and all these other things. And then finally, Jeremiah stepped back. He said, "Oh, I'm weary. I'm weary with prophesying. I can't, they done took me and put me in stocks and hung me up out there to dry. And I don't want to go through that again." He said, "But Jeremiah, you must prophesy. You must not stay. You must not hold your peace." And Jeremiah said, "But Lord, I don't want to go back into those stocks. I don't want to go through that persecution. I don't want to be thrown down in that pit again. I don't want to go down that road. He said, but Jeremiah, you must prophesy. And finally, Jeremiah walked out there. He said, I was going to keep my mouth shut. I was not going to say nothing. But there's a fire shut up in my bones. And I can't keep my mouth shut. And he began to prophesy against Judah and prophesy against the Chaldeans. Why? Because a fire was shut up in his bones. Oh, after a little while, you look around, mommy, and you see them little girls. You've told them how to dress. You've told them how to do right. You've beat it into them. You've told them. You've begged God. You've pleaded. You've pounded on the altar. And just somehow or another, they just don't never seem to get the message. And they're getting closer and closer to the world. And you know if they go another step, you're going to lose them. Then finally you say, but I'm tired of telling them. I'm tired of telling them. I'm weary with telling them. Oh, but little mother, little grandmother, amen, just remember that there was a fire one day that set your soul ablazing and it causes you to live right and to do right. And you know if that little girl, if she could ever get that fire down on the inside of her soul, she'll live just like you do. Oh, my. Preach it again, sister. You're the pastor of that little house. You tell them, send them girls how to live. You show them what's right. Dad, you get a fire in your soul when you can't keep that boy straight, when you can't keep him lined out, when it comes in all hours of the night, and you wonder, how? What can I do? Just remember, there was a night when God met you at an altar and changed your life and filled you with the fire of God. If that same spirit that raised you, amen, from your sins, if it'll get on somebody else, amen, the fire of God, according to everything I can study in the Bible and in the Word of God, we'll just go down this holy fire just for a minute. Sin mocks life. Fire destroys life. This fire is life. Amen. Sin destroys the faculties it works through. Fire destroys its victims. But this holy fire rebirths, renews, and restores what it gets a hold of. It burns out all the dross, like the old song says, amen, the flames, they shall not hurt thee. They're only by design, thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Amen. Oh, bless his wonderful name. Fire spreads. Sin spreads. But this Holy Ghost, it spreads. When the Holy Ghost gets off on a man and he's so full of the fire of God, it ain't very long. His little, remember Jack Coe tells a story that he'd come in one night. He'd been down to the Holy Rotor meeting and he got so full of the Holy Ghost. He'd come in there and he was shouting and praising God. Jack had been a full blown drunk before this. When he come in, his mother and daddy looked at him and said, oh no, he'd done it again. They brought old Jack in there and they put him to bed. Said they laid him in the bed and his hands went up. So they pulled his hands down, his feet went up. He just kept praising God, hallelujah, glory to God, I got it, hot dog, I got it. And finally they just had to leave him in the room. Well, time went on, finally mom said, I just got to go down there and see what Jack's got. She went down to the Holy Rotor meeting and all of a sudden something got a hold of that old woman. She got to shouting and praising God. Says she shouted and spoke in tongues and ran all over the building. Well, she did. And that was just for another day. That was them old Pentecostals. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Last time I looked. Amen. Oh my. Then what happened? Church got out and they went down to the grocery store. Said they're walking to the grocery store buying some stuff and they stopped over in the canned goods. Old Mama Cole looked down, she looked at them cans of tomato sauce. She says, Jackie, honey, you know what this tomato sauce reminds me of? She said, no, Mama, what? So it reminds me of the blood of Jesus that washed my sins away. And they got so happy. And Jack jumped in the shopping cart. Mommy was pushing her around, pushing him around the grocery store. They run over there praising God and glorifying God. And when they finally come to themselves, it was at the butcher counter. And so there was that old butcher standing there with his apron in his hands, wiping tears from his face, old bloody apron. Said, y'all been down to the Holy Roller meeting, ain't you? Said, yeah. Said, my wife went down there. I can't even live with her. Said, I'm going to have to go myself. Oh, what is it? The fire of God. It gets off on you. If it's a real faith friend, it'll spread. It'll spread through your house. It'll spread through your community. It'll spread through your job place. And when it starts spreading through your job, be prepared to get fired. It'll happen. I know it'll happen. My boss come to me and said, you're going to have to go. He said, we got somebody else to take your job. I said, well, I said, I got dreams. I got things I ain't never done before. I got places I ain't never been. I said, thank you. And I took my check. And then he gave me another check. Said, this is your severance pay. So make sure you don't come back. And he said, yeah, I can't leave this job. Said, I've been here so long. Manager of a central New Mexico electric co-op. Big money. Y'all could be making some bucks. Said, I've been here a long time. Said, yeah, I'm just kind of stuck in a rut. I said, son, you know what a rut is? He said, no. I said, it's a grave with both ends kicked out. I said, I gotta go. They fired me for inconsistence. I said, you could have fired me for a lot of things, but inconsistence wasn't one of them. I was there every day. I did my job perfectly. I was a mechanic. You got any mechanics in the house? Well, bless your heart. I worked for 2 years and 2 weeks to the day. I had two comebacks. Two jobs that had to come back for minor adjustments. That don't happen. I bet you always had a mechanic like that. That's right. Inconsistent. They fired me for being inconsistent. The next job I got, the boss loved me so much, he gave me a $250 Bass Pro gift card for being inconsistent. What was it? That my former boss was a whoremonger and a liar and a cheat, and my life condemned him. What is it, friends? You got to get on fire if you want to get fired. Or you can just be an old lukewarm Laodicean lukewarm. Huh? And keep your stinking job. Bible says that all that live godly in Christ, I'm feeling a little pressure now. All that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. The problem with the church of God anymore is we blend it in. We're a bunch of blenders and compromisers. Oh, let us have a testimony that when we come into a place, we set the place ablaze with the power of God. I tell you what the problem is. It's like a fire I went to one time. They called us out. Same little thing. We're just little old, you know, hillbilly bunch of guys. And we go, jump in the truck, and we go into this fire. Structure fire again. And we get up to the top of this mountain. It's an old ghost town called Golden, New Mexico. Up there on the top of that mountain, there's an old antique store. Big old 5,000 square foot wood structured two-story house. Big old colonial style. It used to be the superintendent of mines. That was his personal dwelling. Then after the gold mine closed down, then they turned into an old ghost town, and then this was a little tourist thing. Well, we got called to the fire. We got up there. We could see that fire. Really, we was on the other side of the mountain. You know how big old switchback turns are, you know? And we seen on the other side of the fire. It was glowing like a city over there. Yeah. I said, well, we're a little bit late. And we went around the corner. We pulled down the main street of the little old town. And we can see the old antique store is just going. There's fire coming out of the roof and out of the gable ends and out from under the eaves and out the doors and out the windows, out from under the floorboards, out the front porch, down the lane, all the little glass bottles and, you know how the antique stores have those little, electric glass insulators, you know, that used to go on power lines and stuff they don't use no more. They stacked them all down and them things was melting. Just so far, so hot. And we pulled up there and we pulled out some hose and we were giving her everything we had. And old water would get up there about where the fire was and go, poof. That thing was so hot. We couldn't get anywhere near it. It was just completely out of control. Oh, my. Remember what Brother Brown said about a man gets full of the Holy Ghost? You see, be like a house of fire on a windy day. That old boy was on fire. And all the sweat blankets in the world wasn't going to put him out. Amen. The only thing we could do is try to contain the things around it. Oh my, it was such a blaze. Well, when we come up on a fire, there's a term of size up. They size up a fire. And the chief will come up there and he'll say, all right, boys, we've got a fire here. It looks like it's 30% involved. It's 30% involved. And so we're going to contain, we're going to keep the rest of the house from catching on fire. And we're going to contain the fire in that 30% of the building. And then we'll give or take whatever we can. All right. Then another term of size up is, it's 50% involved. So then you have to make a choice. Do you want to just let the structure go and do full containment? Or do you want to try to save the 50%? And so it's sizing up the fire. Well, when you come to a fire like this one was, then the chief comes up there and fully involved. Fully involved. Oh, would to God this morning, friends, that we could get some church people that would get out of 50% involved. They're only involved when they come to church and when they see church people. Contain that. You can contain that. But what about that person? When you see him on the street, you hear somebody over in the avocado department at Walmart. Praise the Lord, five for a dollar. What is it? Fully involved. Everything is praise the Lord. That's supernatural. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Everywhere you go, they're always like that. You see a man, praise God. One time I was working on a drilling rig. Had a drilling rig. We're trying to pull the clutches off the main drive. And the big old clutches are probably that tall, about that thick, solid steel. They're just big old clutch discs. We're trying to slide those things. My boss man got up there with a big prize bar. And all of a sudden, poof, the thing gave all at once, slid all the way across the shaft, met the other clutch on the other side. But the problem was, that thumb was right in between them clutches. And I'm way up on this deck like this. And I'm not going to demonstrate this because I'd have to be under anointing of a mashed thumb. But that thumb mashed, I mean flat, like a flitter. When it did, I yanked my thumb out of there. And I went, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And I jumped off the deck, landed out on the mat back of his work truck, shouting and praising God the whole time. Bless the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. What did that? You think Brother Dale did that? I was not trained to say those words. I come from a long line of well drillers, and that's not the language they use. They speak in tongues. But something happened inside of here. I was on fire. Amen. I wasn't a Marine no more. I wasn't a well driller and I wasn't a mechanic. I'm a Christian and I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And when things, bad things happen to good people, they worship God anyhow. Why? Because I'm on fire. It was just a little while later. We was putting a water pump on that same 454 that I jumped off on. Chevrolets. Oh, man. And I'm down there trying to put this hose on this thing. And it's hot Tucson. Man, I'm sweating. My eyes are burning. I can't get this thing. I'm getting down in there. In my spirit, I'm saying, Lord Jesus, if you'll just help me. My thumb's killing me. I got to get this water pump on. We got to go to work. And then another man walked up there. And he spoke that other language. And he said, just cuss it. It'll go on. And my boss looked at him and said, he won't cuss it. He said, I seen him mash his thumb practically off and all he could do is say praise the Lord and hallelujah. He said, well then bless it then. I said, bless it Lord. Thing went right on. Amen. Oh my, what is it? Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Why? Because something inside of here, I got fully involved one day. Oh, when Jesus washed all my sins away, I got fully involved with the Holy Ghost, and I've not turned back. I won't turn back. The devil can drive me down. I'll say, oh, God of Elijah, hear my cry. Send the fire. Send the fire. Oh, I love you. Oh, Jesus. That's right. One time, here a while back, they invented a brand new device. It's called a gas-operated refrigerator. Gas-operated refrigerator. You know what I'm talking about? Showing your age. Gas-operated refrigerator. The advertisement slogan was Frigidaire, gas-operated refrigerator. One little flame and no moving parts, but freezes ice. I sound like church people. That's a one little flame, praise the Lord. No moving parts! Spiritual thermometer 40 below zero. Oh my. Oh, let me tell you something. But one time, some tinder got up under the refrigerator. Amen. Oh, that little flame caught on fire and it started burning the floorboards out of that house. After a little while, burnt the whole house down. One little flame is all you need, friend. And you'll never make another ice cube. Oh my, you need to catch on fire one time. You need to get fully involved with the Holy Ghost burning on the inside of your soul. That comforter that I told you about last night, it'll comfort you in your time of distress. Oh, bless the Lord. Amen. Oh my, think about it. Brother Brown said, he said, it wasn't until those Hebrew children got into that furnace of fire that the comforter came. Oh my. Think about it this morning, friend. Hebrew children, they got fully involved. They were so involved that they were against life. Like my little bride sang it a while ago. It was a different song. She sang it this morning. I got my own little concert. And she's on the, I'll live for you. I'll even die for you if I have to. Oh my. Those little Hebrew children, they got down there and they said, we're not going to bend. We're not going to bow. And we're willing to burn, but we ain't willing to bow. Oh, Church of the Living God, I would that we could get people in the church that would quit bowing down to all the things that the world brings around. Show some idiot thing on a news clip or some TV show or some little thing on the internet and people stuck to it, bow down to it. Pay thousands of dollars a year just so they can worship Baal. What is it? Don't bow to that thing. Get a backbone, not a wishbone. Get a saw log between your shoulders, not a jellyfish, dish rag. Be a man, be a woman. Be a son, be a daughter of God. Get full of the fire of God. It'll temper that steel There won't be old baling wire either. Amen. They got down there. They said, we're not. The Lord will deliver us. And finally they said, whatever you say, O King, but we ain't bowing. We ain't bending to that image. Oh my. So they took him down to the burning fiery furnace. Said, fired up 7 times hotter than it's ever been. Oh, where are you today, friends? Hey man, this old seventh age has got the world so hot, so full of passion, so full of self, so full of pride, so full of arrogancy. Oh, such a worldly, such a burning fires of sin raging at every corner, under every tree. Those Hebrew boys, they were on fire. They were fully involved. So they let them down there to the fire. And remember, I know you've heard this story told hundreds of times probably. But remember, Brother Brown said, something happens on the earth. He said, something's happening up in heaven. He said, let's turn our camera up to heaven. He said, when they got there, they looked and there stood the Lord Jehovah standing, looking over the banister down into Babylon. He says, as he stood there looking down into Babylon, he said, a mighty angel named Gabriel came running up and said, Lord, have you looked into Babylon this morning? He said, they're going to kill your innocent children. They're going to burn them in the fiery furnace. Send me down there, Lord, and I'll destroy Babylon. I'll wipe it off the earth and I'll set your children free. He said, no, Gabriel, I can't let you do that. Said, about that time, another mighty angel come running up, said, Lord, have you looked down into Babylon? Said, send me to Babylon this morning. Said, and I'll clean Babylon off the face of the earth like I did in the antediluvian destruction. Said, no wormwood. Said, I can't let you go. He said, I can't let you go because this is too big a job for angels. He said, this is a man-sized job. Oh my. And he stepped back and he dropped his priestly robes and he called for his armament. And as they began to hang the royal warrior garb upon our lovely Lord Jesus, Jehovah, Melchizedek, whoever you want him to be. Oh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Shalom. He dropped his robes and they brought a big vest up there. Had them big old tassels hanging off of it. Well, I ain't no Egyptian. I'm from out west, man. He had leather on. Amen. Lamb's leather. Praise God. Had them old tethers hanging down on there. Had 7 shooters in his holsters. Had them big old shaps wrapped around there. Big old long tassels hanging on there. Amen. Had 7 stars running down both sides. Silver stars. Stood for redemption. For every age. Praise be to God. I could preach on that for a little while. Don't believe we'll. Then. Oh, back to Brother Branham. That was kind of my own thing. I got carried away. Said Brother Branham said he walked up there. He called for the 4 winds and they brought a big old thunderhead up in front of the throne of God. Oh, can you imagine? Big old Cat 5 hurricane stepped off out there in front of him. He just stepped off on it. Said when he stepped off on it, and them old tornadoes out there on there by like legs and reaching out there, big old stallion of a thunderhead. Oh, and my Lord reached up into heaven and pulled down a big zigzag lightning. And he cracked her across the heavens. Said, "Woo-ha!" And down he rode in the Babylon. Oh my. He went riding down there. And Brother Brown said he went riding down by the Sea of Life. And he snatched a big palm tree out of the ground. He went riding into Babylon that day and started fanning the flames. Woo! You think he wouldn't fan them flames? But he fanned them flames so they got so hot they burnt the fetters off of them boys. It killed the guards that tried to throw them in there. And those boys stepped off into that burning fiery furnace. Brother Brown said he fanned all the heat out of the flames. Imagine that. They walked into a burning fiery furnace that was, that God had burned out all took out all the heat now. He didn't take the flames out of their trial. He just took the heat out of it. And they walked off in there, and the king looked down and said, "My, I thought we threw 3 men bound in that burning fire, but we did, oh Lord." He said, "Why do I see 4 loose and walking all around? And the 4th man in the fire looks like the Son of God." Oh, what was happening, friends? They were fully involved. You know what God's prophet said? Said they had hours of pleasure in there. Hours of pleasure in that burning fiery furnace. Oh, anywhere. Let me tell you, friends. If I went to heaven with all of its streets of gold and the many mansions that are there, and the birds of paradise are flying and Jesus wasn't there, it would be hell to me. But I could go into the lowest regions, amen, of Tobeth. I could go down into the realms of Hades, amen, in the burning fiery brimstone. And if Jesus was there, oh, this is like heaven to me. Praise God, oh, this, it doesn't matter as long as He's somewhere. Amen, where I can call His name. He's as close as a mention of His name this morning, friends. I used to train search and rescue dogs. I had one dog. Not dogs, one dog. And I named her Abishag because she was just a little pretty thing. And I had one poor old miserable dog and he'd get cold. So I said, "Well, I'll give old Abby over to Jedder so he can have somebody to sleep with him, keep him warm." That's what in the Bible, remember? Abishag was given to David. And so I love them dogs. They're my friends. And Abby, she was a natural. She could trail a man on a dry trail for 2 hours and no humidity, white lining, just like that. She was a genius, just a natural man trailer. And so I did all this study about getting lost, what to do in the wilderness, how to survive if you're up there in the woods. And so it was just part of the program. So I was learning some of this stuff, found out that if you get lost in the woods, that first of all, never go into the woods without the means of building a fire. Don't go out there. I even read here recently that even in these familiar woods where you're going less than a quarter mile from home, that you should take the means to build a fire because of mechanical injury. If you got hurt and couldn't move, then you may not die from the injury, but you'd die from hypothermia because you couldn't build a fire to keep yourself warm until somebody come find you. Just a simple thing. You ought to keep, you know, take some sort of a fire starter, lighter, magstick, Bic, anything. Just take something and start a fire. Well, I decided in my mind that if I ever went into the woods, that the one thing that Brother Dale is not going to do is freeze to death. Not going to die slow, miserable, cold death. I want to go out with a bang. I don't want to freeze to death. That's just one thing. Some people, they got other fears of dying. I don't want to die from freezing to death. So, in my backpack, I have a lighter, I have matches, I have a mag stick, I have fire starter sticks with lighter fluid on them already, and I will build a fire. And so, I thought in my mind that if I got lost, I would be the easiest person the search and rescue ever had to find. They could pick me up from outer space. They could. I will build a fire that is so big that they'll send the National Guard to get me. Because I'm not going to freeze to death and I'm not going to be lost out there for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days. Get hungry. I don't like to get hungry. And I'm not Yule Gibbons and I ain't no pine cones either. And so I thought in my mind, I'll build me a big fire. Why? Because I'm white. I'm white man. See? White man. Brother Brown, I got a quote for it. Brother Brown said, "Indian build small fire, stand real close. White man build big fire, stand way back." Amen. Oh, I say, if you're lost this evening, if you're lost in here today, friends, if you don't know God, build a fire. Start praying. Amen. Maybe you just got that one little flame. Maybe it's just a little spark. Just a little spark. You know, you get a little spark going, and then you just take a big old chunk of wood and drop it on there. Boom. Uh-oh. You're going to be lost in the slough of despond. You're going to get condemned because you didn't catch on fire. And you don't got this burning Holy Ghost in your life. And you can't say praise the Lord every time something bad happens. And then you're going to be condemned. And then you're going to sin again. And then you're going to go back to what you were. And then you're going to be lost. And you're going to be out on the street. Don't do that. Just get a spark. And then the best way to do it, I'll give you some instructions. What you do is you get down on your knees. And you get your little hands around that little spark. And then you breathe on it. You don't blow, you just breathe. You just give it a little breeze, just a little fan. And then that little fire will get a little bit bigger. And then you can put a little pine needle on there, a little leaf, a little something, a little dry tender, a little line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and then just keep fanning it, and then it'll get bigger, and then you put a little limb on there, and then you put a little piece of wood on there, a big old chunk of bark on there, keep fanning it, keep fanning it, keep fanning it, and all of a sudden, before you know it, this thing will have so much energy, it don't matter what you throw at it. It won't matter. But don't just lay there till you die. If you feel that your little flame has gone flicker, flicker down to nothing, and your spiritual soul is just a barely staying alive, and you wonder how you even got here with the pregame show on and everything. And you're saying, it's time to go. It's 1 o'clock. If you're worried about that, friends, you need a fire. You need something in your soul that'll make you so on fire that that stuff won't mean nothing to you no more. I say, we need to get a blaze of burning. Well, now I told you what time it was. Better get out of here. Brothers, pull Zechariah 2, verse 5 up for me if you would. Let's stand to our feet. Zechariah 2 and 5. Yes. Most of the time I have congregational reading before the service. Today we'll have it after, at the end of the service. But if we could read together this one little verse of Scripture. Together. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Oh, he's talking about you, friends. He's talking about me. There's a wall of fire about me. Oh, do we know that old song of the church? Send the fire. God of Elijah, send the fire, send the fire. Oh, send the fire. Boy, I was sure hoping you knew that. Huh? For the fire we want, for the fire we plead. Send the fire, send the fire. Send the fire. Must be a Western thing. Oh, well, then we won't try to sing that. Then, just help me out then. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know you got an archive of many, many good songs. And I'm not the best singer in the world for sure. But we love the Lord, friends. This morning, you got a little fire. The devil's tried to put it out. He's thrown everything, that wet blankets and all kinds of thing on your fire, and tried to put you out and persecute you and make fun of you. And, oh, friend, I'm here to tell you this morning that there's a fire. He said, my God is a consuming fire. Oh, let's pray the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, will come. Oh, and it will set our souls ablaze And that we, the children of God, as the Bible said, I'll be a wall of fire round about her. And will be the glory in the midst of her. This was, we could probably sing that up. We could sing that. Amen. Oh my. There's going to be fire around us. There's going to be glory in us. Oh, I want to be fully involved. I don't want to just be partially involved. I want to be fully involved. I want the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want the God of Elijah. He said, I have done everything, amen, according to thy word. Lord God, send the fire. Oh, I would the fire of God would come down and begin to move through this place like it did on the day of Pentecost when it came down in cloven tongues and fell upon each one of them. Oh, my friends, it changed them from what they were, mechanic-filled cowards. And they went out and they set the whole city on fire. And before they was done that day, 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom. Oh, may we go from this place pouring out of this building, going into your towns, into your cities, into your homes. Oh, my friends, start a fire. Get one going here. Because without one here, you can't help nobody else out there. Remember those boys set that strange fire? And the Bible says that they offered strange fire unto the Lord, and the Lord killed them. You know why? Because they went over where they was boiling this sodden meat. And they took fire out from under that men had started. And they took that fire and started their incense and went in to present that to the Lord. And the Lord killed them. Strange fire, friend. Man-made stuff. You don't need a man-made fire, because right next to that was a fire that the fire had come down from heaven and burned up the sacrifice. And the fire that God had lit was the one they were supposed to start their incense, which was prayers that went up before the Lord. Oh, let your fires be in the Bible says that when you pray, pray in the Spirit. Pray with the fire of God burning. And if you don't have that fire burning, pray for that fire. Oh my. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we right now are just in a place, Lord, of, oh, I know that the people are in a valley of decision, a place where they must make a choice to go from this place and to be under the influence of satanic fire or the satanic sins, Lord, or they can be under the power of the consuming fire of God and have every part of their life surrounded by the wall of fire and have the glory of God in the midst of her, Lord. Oh, Father, we ask even now, Lord, that that same fire, Lord, would come down this place, Lord, and begin to consume the evening sacrifice, Lord, as we have offered the calves of our lips, oh, Lord. May you consume us, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray. Do you know that song, Consume Me, Oh Lord? Consume Me. Oh no, brother, you're good, but you ain't that good. I'm telling you right now. Mm-mm. No, that one we got there will be all right. Amen. Do we?
Oh Lord, send the fire just now.
Amen. Oh, I like it.
I don't know if that's it or not.
Just now. Not after a while. Just now. Amen.
They were in the upper chamber. They were all in one accord. When the Holy Ghost descended, that was promised by our Lord. Oh, Lord, send the fire just now. This power from heaven descended with the sound of rushing wind. Tongues of fire came down upon them as the Lord said, we will stand.
Let me tell you, the devil would like to tell you you can't have it. He'll tell you it got too late today to continue the service. I'm sorry for that. I only come around once a year. But Donnie knows how to keep him to 45. I never figured that one out. So, but he'll tell you all kinds of things. That old devil. He'll try to get you to go out before you get on fire. They'll try to tell you to go out before you really made peace with God. Make peace, friend. Make peace. Get all, anything, nothing between your soul and your Savior. Get full of God this morning. Get the Holy Ghost burning, and then you can go out and you can make a difference in your world. Amen. When pangs of death seized on my soul, to the Lord I cry, till Jesus came and made me come, I would not be behind. Would not be behind. Oh no, I would not be behind. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be behind. And Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord. Now, and it's done with the As we prepare to dismiss, friends, I want you to go worshiping. I want you to go singing the praises of God, lifting up His name. Oh, let us sing as we're dismissed. As I will praise Him, I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has cleansed each stain. Hallelujah. Oh, we'll praise Him. I'm gonna praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And give Him glory, glory, glory. Power and might. Hallelujah. Oh, His blood has washed away sin. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before Your throne of mercy this morning. We commit the people into Your care. Oh, Father, we pray, Lord, that that fire will begin to burn. Oh, in such a supernatural way in every life, that the testimony will begin to roll in from far and wide. Lord, that the church, Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ, is on fire. Oh, God, Lord, there will be such a kindling, Lord, such a burning, burning holy fire, burning with the Holy Ghost. We ask for this, for this church and for this assembly and for all its elders, deacons, its precious pastor, and family, Lord. We ask these blessings upon them in Jesus' precious name. Friend, if you need a touch this morning, if you need prayer for your body, if you're sick, I'd be glad to pray for you. We'll give you a little bit of time here. And as you worship God, oh, go in the name of Jesus. And let God be the centerpiece of your life, we pray. In Jesus' name. Sing us a song, Brother Harry.
I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord.
Store, oh, I will pray.